preacher out of Mississippi, and maybe you'll get a blessing out of it tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1, go ahead and turn there. I had the opportunity last year when I was doing some refrigeration work. I had the opportunity to work in different places all over the country. I worked from everywhere, from Virginia to Miami out to Colorado. Man, they had me everywhere. But I was in Virginia last year, and in Virginia I had the opportunity to do a little work. And while I was outside of the facility there, I was going out to the truck to get some tools or some material, whatever it was. And overhead, I heard a Canadian goose. Now, how many of you have ever heard Canadian geese before? Well, a couple of you know. There's a couple of you know. How many have watched some of those TV shows on the History Channel or something where they had Canadian geese on there? Yeah, well, see, y'all, some of you are already familiar with some Canadian geese. Well, I had the opportunity, and while I was out there outside the building, and I heard that Canadian goose fly over, I did not have to turn my head. I knew right then and there, that is a Canadian goose. But I did turn my head. I turned my head. Sure enough, there's a Canadian goose flying over. And, you know, I'm amazed that, you know, I watch some of these shows on the History Channel or National Geographic, whatever it is, Discovery. And I'm amazed at the different things that Canadian geese do. So we're going to preach. It'll be kind of a devotional type message tonight. We'll just tone it down a little bit from what I preached last night. But it'll still be out of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. But we're going to bring a little devotional message tonight titled, How's Your Honking? How's Your Honking? Now, I see right now it's got some of your curiosity aroused. But as I was out, I saw that Canadian goose, and I've seen on these TV shows how Canadian geese act, and I'm just amazed at their behavior. I'm amazed at how they just migrate together. They just automatically know where to go. They don't have a GPS that they strap to their chest and they follow the GPS navigator. They just automatically know. But the first thing that I'm amazed of is the sound. They have a very distinctive sound. That's how we should be as Christians. Amen? We should have a distinctive sound. Just like I didn't have to turn my head to know that's a Canadian goose flying over. When we're out in public, people should not have to turn their head and take a look at you to figure out you're a Christian. Amen? People should not have to turn around to do a self-examination to find out, well, he's this. They should automatically know just by your talk that, hey, that's a Christian. That's a Christian right there. Amen? When you're out at the ball field, when you're cheering your child on, some of them parents get a little bit rowdy. Some of them get a little bit nasty. Well, how about you, Christian? When you're out there at the ball field and you're cheering your child on, hey, go ahead, Junior, hit that home run. Do people know automatically just by the sound that comes out of your mouth, hey, that's a Christian over there. I bet that boy's parents are Christians. When you bump into somebody at the grocery market because somebody's not paying attention, you got a little old lady, she's in a hurry trying to get some supper, she bumps into your cart, what comes out of your mouth? She'll say, oh, excuse me, I didn't see you. What's your response to her? She should automatically know by the response that comes out of your mouth, hey, that's a Christian. That's a Christian. Christians should have a distinctive sound. We can see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Not just some manner of conversation. Not just when we come to church on Sunday morning. Not just when we come to church on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Or while we're sitting under the tabernacle during camp meeting. The Bible says that be holy in all manner of conversation. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We serve a holy God.
Yes, sir.
Do we not?
Yes, sir.
I mean, we serve a holy, majestic, righteous, pure, living God.
Yes, sir.
And God said for you to be holy because I am holy. The Bible says in Philippians 1:27. Now I'm going to go through these a little bit. It might help you to take some notes, just to save some time, because we'll cover a little bit of ground tonight. But the Bible says in Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, as a preacher that I listened to the other night during a revival before I came over here, he said you could talk to some of these boys out here in public and ask them who won the race Sunday. Casey Kane. Casey Kane won it. We know what goes on out in the world. But the Bible says, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, you can ask somebody, well, how do you get saved? Just how do you get saved? Well, our conversation ought to be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. We ought to be able to take the Word of God and lead somebody to the Lord quicker than we could come up with who won Sunday's race. Or who won the Super Bowl last year. Or who won the World Series. Our conversation ought to be geared toward the gospel of Christ. In Ephesians 4:29, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What was that last part? That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now in our conversation, the Bible says that we are to minister grace unto the hearers. So when we're out in public and talking to people, hey, you know what? We have exhortation down perfect. You don't need to do any more studying on exhortation. We know how to take people. We know how to correct them. We've got that one down perfect. But how about edifying? How about lifting up? How about ministering grace unto the hearers? Because the Bible says, I read that my Jesus Christ, He was a compassionate person. Very compassionate. The man was full of grace. He had compassion on people. We ought to be that way in our conversation. The second thing I want you to realize is that geese have a distinctive flight pattern. I was saying that I was amazed at how geese, when they go to migrate, they automatically know. And you know what? They take the same flight pattern every time they migrate. When they pass over a certain spot, whenever they migrate, you can guarantee that next year they're going to pass over the same spot. You can step out your door and here they come. They'll be passing over the same. Geese have a distinctive flight pattern. You know what we do? You know what we do on Sunday morning between the hours of 9 and 10 o'clock? Do you know what we do? We are migrating. We have, or we should have, a distinctive flight pattern between the hours of 9 and 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. People ought to be able to look out on the highway and see your car coming by because they know that you're headed to church. Amen. On Sunday night, you ought to have a distinctive flight pattern. People automatically know that bird is headed to church. Amen? Now, this is in any given season. You know, their season, the geese have a migratory season and they have a breeding season. After they migrate, after the winter months, they migrate back to their breeding grounds. You know what we do when we leave here tonight? We migrate. Where do we go? We go to our spiritual breeding grounds. We shouldn't be just going to the house just to kick back. Geese don't just fly back to the homeland and just kick back and say, well, I guess we'll just sit around and wait until we migrate next year. No, they're out breeding. What should we be doing? We should be out breeding new Christians into the family of God. We should be out witnessing. That's another distinctive flight pattern. Not only should we go to church, but as Christians, we are supposed to behave as Christians. So we should be out after church and through the rest of the week. We should be out witnessing, knocking on doors, trying to win others to Christ. The other thing that I want you to realize is that when geese migrate, they fly in a V formation most of the time. Yeah, I've seen them fly just a little bit different flight pattern. But for the most part, they fly in that V pattern, the V formation. You know, we come together as Christians. As Christians, we come together in formation in a unified local body of believers. Unified. Amen? I mean, we should take our place where Jesus Christ had established the church. We should position ourselves in the church to where we line up with the Word of God. To where we line up as Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And then we've got the pastor. And then we've got the others. And we should all be lined up in a specific flight pattern. Amen? Amen. I mean, you don't see the geese stepping out fighting over the lead position, do you? Huh? You don't see the geese flying out. Well, you know, I want second spot. I want third spot. You know, somebody has to be in the back of the line. That still makes up the formation. Amen? I'm now preaching the truth or not. Amen? So why should we do this? We come together as a unified local body of believers with one common goal. For the furtherment of the gospel of Christ. Not just because, well, you know, I'm just supposed to be in submission, so I've got to be on this side and I've got to be right here because that's what... No. It's for a purpose. It's to further the gospel of Christ. Amen. And we'll see here in just a little bit the importance of that flight pattern. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, it says, let all things be done decently and in order. The Bible backs that up. The Bible backs it up that we're supposed to be in formation as a unified local body of believers. Now in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So, what's that mean? That we should be in formation.
Yes, sir.
We shouldn't be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We should be in formation to help the formation further the gospel of Christ. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that all of the things which he had possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Now, first thing I want you to see is they were assembled together. They came together, they were assembled together in obedience of the Word of God, and you know what? They received the Holy Ghost. Had they not have been assembled together, I doubt very seriously that they would have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and the gospel would not have been spread out into the world. The second thing that I want you to see is the things which he possessed was not his own, but they had all things in common. You know what? When I stand up here and the pastor is heading this camp meeting and the pastor is pastoring the church, you know what I'm doing? I'm helping pastor the church. When the song leader is up here leading the song leading and I'm out there or I'm up here playing the instrument, you know what I'm doing? I'm helping out with the song leading. I mean, somebody's got to sing. Somebody's got to play the instruments. Amen? So where one person is taking a position in a church and doing the work of God, me as a partaker in the church, I am helping that position along. And that's what it's saying here. So that none of them possessed that which was his own, but they had all things in common. The next thing I want you to look at is each goose flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the goose behind it. Some of you that are into racing, you automatically know that. Yeah, it's called drafting in racing. But it's the same thing if you're into aviation. You know what it means for, you know what that uplift means. But as each goose flaps its wings, the goose behind it, this goose, as he flaps his wings, he creates an uplift for the goose that's behind him. So it makes it easier. He's got that uplift already coming up. You know, he doesn't have to work as hard because, you know, he's coming down with his wings and he's already got the uplift coming from behind. By flying in formation, the whole flock adds 71% greater flying range and saves as much as 50%. Now, let me tell you something, cowboy. Let me tell you something. You can go out and you can fly solo all you want.
Yeah.
You can fly solo all you want. But you can further the gospel of Christ if you'll come together with a local, unified body of believers and fly in formation. Amen? You'll spend and you'll exert less energy and you'll go further with the gospel of Christ than going out there and doing it all by yourself. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 9, it says, "For we are all laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." And Philippians 1:27, the Bible says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Amen? Now, you don't see the lead goose out in front butting everybody to the side. "Get out of my way. I done got me a Bible education. I'm leading this pack." You don't see that. It's going to take people behind you backing you up. You may have the lead position, and there's nothing wrong. Bless the ones that have the lead position, but it takes people backing them up. It takes you backing the one up that's in the lead position, and if you are in the lead position, it's going to take the ones that are behind you backing you up in order to further the gospel of Christ. You know, when a goose falls out of formation, it feels the drag and resistance of flying alone. It quickly moves back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the flock. Now, I've seen that a lot of times. They'd be flying around perfect formation. All of a sudden, you'll see one just kind of dart out. You know what? It's not long. And I've seen this. It ain't long that it darts right back in, falls right back in line. Yeah, we ought to take that into consideration. You know, sometimes we may just slip out of formation a little bit. Some of us call that backsliding. We may slip out of formation a little bit. But man, at least have the common sense that God gave a goose and get back into formation just as soon as you realize the drag. Just as soon as you realize the resistance. Amen? By staying in formation, we accept help from others and we lend help to others. By staying in formation, I'm accepting the help from the ones that are in position in front and behind me. So I'm accepting the help from those that are in front of me. At the same time, I'm lending my help to the ones that are behind us. We should all be working together. Amen? Amen. The Bible says in Romans 4:14, verse number 9, says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherein one may edify one another." We ought to be lifting each other up. He talked about edification. Edification. Lifting each other up. That's what we should be doing. We've got exhortation now perfect. You know, we're so quick to correct other people. We're so quick to, hey, you know, you're wrong for it. We ought to be lifting each other up. Amen? When the lead goose tires, it rotates back into formation and another goose takes the point. You know, sometimes a pastor, you know, sometimes he gets sick or he has to be out of town or he's laid up in a hospital. Sometimes the lead goose tires, or for whatever reason, has to drop back just a little bit. But you know, just as the geese are, another one should be quick to come right up, take the spot, and lead the pack. Amen? Amen. So like geese, we interdepend on other skills and abilities, capabilities, gifts, talents, and resources. You know, somebody has to lead the pack when it comes to the church finances. Not me. No, sir. I don't have that capability. But somebody has to take that point. If something drastic happened, I'd be willing to step in and give it a whirl. But I'd be hoping that pretty soon that lead goose comes back up and takes my position back over. You know, somebody has to take the lead position with cooking the food for camp meeting. Amen? Not me. But if I had to, I'd go ahead and I'd try my hand at it. Somebody has to take the lead position with cleaning the bathrooms. Amen? Sure. It's not always all glory. It's not always about, look at me, I am the lead goose. We look at that position as a position of pastoralship or a position of an evangelist. But somebody has to take a lead position when it comes to doing things that, you know, a lot of times we leave it to the lead goose. A lot of times we leave it to the lead goose to do it all. Amen. Do we not? Have you never seen that before? I've seen it plenty of times. The lead goose can't fly lead all the time. When it comes to preaching the Word of God, hey, yeah, sure. Man, put them up there in the point. Yeah, but when it comes to mowing the grass, when it comes to cleaning the toilets, when it comes to fixing the plumbing, hey, you know, let somebody else take the point, amen? Let's let the lead goose, he's tired. Let's let him rotate back into the formation. Let somebody else take the lead for a little bit. And then come Sunday morning, the lead goose can come back up and take the lead again, amen? Next point is geese flying in formation. I talked to you about that distinctive sound they make, that honking sound. Well, technically they call that contact calls. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Now when we think about contact calls, are you making any contact calls? Are you? Hey, you know what? Hey, here's a contact call right here. Here's one. Brother Cagle, I appreciate that song that y'all sung. That was good. I got a blessing out of that. That was a contact call. That was edification. That's lifting him up. That's not. Did you hear them? They sounded just a little bit off key tonight, didn't they? We're supposed to be edifying one another. Making contact calls. Uplifting one another. Why? Because that's what geese do. Why do they make contact calls? Because the geese that are behind in formation, they make that honking noise. They make a contact call to encourage others to keep up their speed. That's what geese do. I mean, they're all working toward going to the same place. If we're not working together for the same common goal, then you know I might as well just shut up right now. Because we need to just back up to point number 2 is what we need to do. But if we are working together toward the same common goal, which is furthering the gospel of Christ, then we ought to be making contact calls, uplifting one another. Hey, during the week, there is nothing wrong with making a contact call. Hey, you know what, brother? You know, I just got to thinking about you. You know, I really appreciate the things that you do in the church. You know what, sister? I really appreciate you cleaning the bathrooms. I really appreciate you cooking all that food. Man, that was some good stuff.
Yes, sir.
We should be making, there's nothing in the world wrong with making contact calls. In fact, there's everything right with making them. Why? Because it furthers the advancement of the church. Amen? The next point is when a goose gets sick, wounded, or shot down, two geese drop out of formation and follow it down and help and protect it. They stay with it until it dies or is able to fly again. Then they launch out with another formation or catch up to the flock. Now that's an amazing thing. So you know, they're flying along. One of them gets sick. One of them gets shot down, falls to the ground. Two other geese follow that thing down for two reasons. That's to help it and protect it. When somebody in the church is wounded or something happens and they fall out of formation, we ought to have some geese that fall out. We ought to have some Christians that fall out with them to go down, help them, and to protect them. Protect them from what? You know how it is when you miss church? I know how it is. Man, it's like Satan just starts dumping a load on me. Amen? Satan will do that. The world is wretched out there. All it takes for some people is missing that one service, and before you know it, they've missed half a year. You know, we ought to be making those contact calls. We ought to be protecting our members in the church. We ought to be protecting each other, helping each other. Because sometimes we move to a different location. Like it's saying here, hey, if we can't catch up to the same flock when we fall out of formation, find another flock. Amen? Boy, it's quiet. Romans 15:1-2, the Bible says, We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to bear the infirmities of the weak. Maybe some aren't quite as spiritual as what you are. I mean, I know you have no problem with sin. I know that. You know, but there's others in the church that aren't at the quite the level that you're at. So we can be spiritually, we can also be physically weak. The Bible says we that are strong, we are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let's not forget that point. Then it says, let every one of us please his neighbor for good, for his good to edification. We're supposed to be pleasing to other people for their edification. You know, we got some mean people. There's mean people out there in the world. I'm building a prison over there in Natchez, Mississippi. It's going to be full of mean people. We need some nice people. Amen? We ought to have some people that speak ministering grace in their speech. Now, that's not saying, well, that's okay. You know, it's all... Hey, we should still be preaching the Word of God, amen? But at the same time, if we cut them up, hey, when you go in to have an operation and he cuts y'all up, does he not sew you back up? Huh? Does he not put some balm on there and make things a little bit better? Sure, you had to have an operation. Sure, you need to be cut up a little bit. But doesn't he patch you up and make you all better to make you just as good as you were? Amen? If not better, that's what we should be doing. You know, closing, there's a story about a fireman. They had a fire in a multi-story building. And the firemen rushed to the scene. They set the ladder up. And they thought that they got all the people out of the building. And they were starting to roll things up. And then pretty soon, somebody looked up and they saw a little figure in one of the windows with flames wrapped around it. Well, they hurried the ladder back up. And one of the firemen volunteered to go back up, so they geared him up. They piled all kind of stuff on him. They shot the ladder back up, and up he goes, up the ladder. You know how firemen are. They're some of the bravest people that we have in the United States, some of the bravest people in the world. So there he goes to brave the flames. So he goes up there, and it's a little old frail lady. He takes the blanket that he's got, and he wraps it around her tight, throws her over his shoulder, and starts back down the ladder. No sooner does he start back down the ladder than something happened. Backdraft or whatever it was. And the flames engulfed the ladder. You could just barely see the firefighter with his precious cargo over his shoulder. Well, the firefighter froze for a minute. And they could see that his steps became unsure. And everybody was afraid that the firefighter was going to lose his foundation, lose his footing. And not only would he fall to the ground, but also his precious cargo. Well, the captain turned to the other firefighters and he said, cheer them all, boys! Cheer them all! So everybody got together. Hey, come on, buddy! You can do it! You can do it! You know, strength came back to that firefighter. Courage came back to that firefighter. And he came back down the ladder and him and his precious cargo arrived safely on the ground. You know, we should be encouraging each other. You know, when we see each other and we're all doing our part for the furtherment of the gospel of Christ. But as we see each other and maybe our steps become unsure, let's cheer each other on just like they did the firefighter. Hey, buddy, you can do it. Man, preach the word. I don't care how young you guys are. You're a little bit younger than me. Man, don't let that interfere. Preach the word. Preach the word. Don't stop singing. I don't care. I don't care what the world thinks about it. I get a blessing every time you girls get up here and sing. Praise God, it blesses my soul. Keep on keeping on. We ought to be furthering the gospel of Christ. Edifying one another. Lifting each other up. How's your honking tonight? How's your honking?